Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys all for tuning in on KTW AM 630 and also on the FM dial 96.5, covering the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene areas deep in the heart of the American Redoubt. This is Patriot-held territory. You are in the free zones, and welcome to all of those of you who are listening outside the wire, in occupied territory. Be encouraged. This is your 30-minute weekly blast of truth, encouragement, motivation, analysis, and sometimes a bit of entertainment. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. There are several things that I want to cover before we get into our main topic. And we're going to talk today about liberalism versus classical liberalism versus libertarianism and conservatism. So, there's going to be a lot to cover, and there's a lot of resources that I'm going to throw at you for you to learn more about these terms that I'm talking about. But first, there is a big event coming up. Actually, you know what? Let's start chronologically. Today, Spirit of America Rally. That's going to be today at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Greyhound Park or the Greyhound Racetrack, just on the east side of the Washington-Idaho border off of I-90. You won't be able to miss it. It's on the right after you cross the border, and that's your first exit there. It's a kind of across the freeway and then down a little ways from Cabela's. So it'd be down there on the right, on the other side of the freeway from Cabela's. And you'll take that same exit that you would take if you were going to go to Cabela's, about 1 mile across the border. So we expect to see you guys there. And you can read more about this at redoubtnews.com. And they are posting, says, a new Spirit of America rally is back with a scheduled date, June 24th. That's today. And at the Greyhound Racetrack in Post Falls. You may have heard that some in Eastern Washington did not approve of the last rally, so much so that the Spokane NAACP demanded that three of the speakers show up at their monthly meeting to take criticism for their words. Well, they've got the YouTube link in here, so you can watch the last rally. So this is going to be a great event. I look forward to seeing some of you guys there. And hopefully many, if not all of you, there, if you're able to make it. That is at the Greyhound Park or Greyhound Racetrack, State Line, Idaho, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Spirit of America Rally. Don't miss it. Now, next weekend, June 30th through July 2nd, is going to be an awesome family event. That's the God and Country Celebration at Marble. The gates are going to open at Friday, at noon on Friday, June 30th. And that first session starts at 7 p.m. that evening. They do have dry camping available. And if you contact them, they do have actually lodging in a couple of the small towns outside of Marble. There's no lodging directly there unless you're going to be dry camping. Vendors, they're going to have a bunch of stuff going on there. Fireworks should be, non-dry enough for them to have fireworks this year. There's going to be also a Sunday morning service that you don't want to miss. That's great. Patriot pastor sermon, roundtable discussions, workshops, fireworks, children's activities, food vendors. It's going to be a good time. Music and entertainment. I guess Jordan Page, I'm certain, is going to be performing again. And that's always a great treat. And what else do we got here? There's something else. Oh, the flag for Liberty State We're over 750 votes now. We need you guys to step up. If you have not voted for the state flag for Liberty State and the state seal, then go to patriotpolls.org. That's P-O-L-L-S, patriotpolls.org, and make your voice heard. Vote for the flag that you want to see flying over the state capital of Liberty State when it becomes a state and breaks free from the despot, tyrannous regime in Olympia. So we need to, once it hits 1,000 votes, the poll stops. And whichever flag and whichever seal has the most votes is the flag for Liberty State. Okay, let me get into the main topic today. Liberals, libertarians, conservatives, and classical liberals. Are you a liberal? Well, you might be surprised. You might actually be a liberal and not realize it. And of course, I'm talking about the classical liberal before liberalism was hijacked. Now, this has come up a lot in discussions among the patriots. So I think it's important that we visit this, especially because I've been labeled a couple of times, usually by someone on the left who's writing a piece, some topic that we covered, and like John Jacob Schmidt, libertarian radio host. Well, I'm not a libertarian. I am a conservative Christian, a modern version of a classical liberal, but of the classical liberal type that existed in the late 18th and 19th centuries, like many of our founding fathers were. So there was a posting that Sherry Duvalli from Redoubt News posted on their Facebook page saying, hey, I'd like to get some input and some of your guys' thoughts on this. What is classical liberalism? And it is a video posted. I'm going to talk about more in depth here in just a little bit. So on this Facebook posting, I responded, but let me just talk. This is a great article. This next article is at Mrs.org, and it's titled, What is Classical Liberalism? And so I'll just read a little bit of this, a few of the paragraphs, and then I want to encourage you guys to go and learn more about this and the history and the roots of classical liberalism, and you'll see how the thieves on the left, the hijackers, have taken the term liberalism like they've done with so many other things like progress and progressivism. It's not progress, it's decadence, but they call it progress. So now what they call liberalism is nothing like what liberalism used to be. Classical liberalism would define someone who is a conservative, freedom and liberty minded, who wants limited government. So let me go over this. Classical liberalism is the term used to designate the ideology of advocating private property, an unhampered market economy, the rule of law, constitutional guarantees of freedom of religion and of the press, and international peace based on free trade. Now, up until around 1900, this ideology was generally known simply as liberalism. The qualifying classical is now usually necessary in English-speaking countries, at least, but not, for instance, in France, because liberalism has come to be associated with wide-ranging interferences with private property and the market on behalf of egalitarian goals. This version of liberalism, if such it can still be called, is sometimes designated as social or erroneously modern or the new liberalism. Here we shall use liberalism to signify the classical variety. So down in the third paragraph, it says the struggle of the Dutch against absolutism of the Spanish Habsburgs issued a polity that manifested basically liberal traits, the rule of law, including especially a firm adherence to property rights, de facto religious toleration, considerable freedom of expression, and a central government of severely limited powers. The astonishing success of the Dutch experiment exerted a demonstration effect on Europe, on its social thought, and gradually the political practice. America became the model liberal nation, and after England, the exemplar of liberalism to the world. Through much of the 19th century, it is in many respects a society in which the state could hardly be said to exist, as European observers noted with awe. Radical liberal ideas were manifested and applied by groups such as the Jeffersonians, Jacksonians, abolitionists, and the late 19th century anti-imperialists. So, to this posting, Sherry Duvalli asking, soliciting, you know, input, ideas, thoughts on this explanation of classical liberalism. And so this is what I wrote. I wrote, ah, yes, classical liberalism. Conservatives who promoted liberty before libertarianism was taken over by anarchists, licentiousness, and godlessness. Today's God-fearing, liberty-loving patriotism is what used to be called classical liberalism, or just liberalism. Today, we refer to it as classical liberalism. A bunch of Christians staying out of each other's business. So that, to me, is what classical liberalism is, or was. Liberalism was. So today, those who embrace smaller government, more freedom, you're a libertarian now. But see, the libertarians today advance, basically, they're anarchists, no government. They advocate licentiousness, godlessness. So I am not a libertarian. And somebody said, besides his restriction to Christians, not a bad summary. Well, I wasn't restricting classical liberalism in general to just Christians. I'm talking about the early American, the young America after our independence, and then probably for the next 100 years. Our country, and even England, was largely Christian. And those who advocated for freedom, private property rights, freedom of religion, a limited government, they were liberals. They were stepping outside the norm and advocating for these things. And they were mostly Christian and mostly stayed out of others' businesses. So that's why I'm not restricting classical liberalism is not just about Christians, but I was speaking about early America and Britain. And somebody else said, oh, we need to watch out for labeling. The problem is being labeled a conservative or a liberal is one of the ways the ruling class divides and manipulates the livestock of their tax on their tax farm. I prefer to consider each issue separately and not swallow an opinion provided to me as conservative or liberal. Well, okay. Rejecting labels because that's how they divide us. You've got to come to the realization we are already divided. And the God-hating social and political left is defining us and the differences and redefining who we are. And if we don't challenge them on that, if we don't define who we are, then they go unchallenged. So there's nothing wrong with labels. Look in the Bible. Those are Amalekites and we are Israelites. Labeling. They are worshipers of Baal and we are worshipers of Jehovah. Labeling. Okay, so don't get hung up on, I refuse to be labeled. You need to know who you are. And in our English language, you need to be able to define it and label it. I'm a Christian, conservative, patriot. Oh, there's three labels. I'm proud to wear them. But don't let them call you something that you're not. Like they want to call you a hater because you believe in a traditional Judeo-Christian values. There is a cartoon that I saw, and somebody sent it to me. It was pretty good, actually. and there was a chicken crossing the road, and it said, "Why did the libertarian chicken cross the road? None of your business. Am I being detained?" And I thought, that is so true. That is so true. But, you know, there is a role for government. And many libertarians really lean strongly toward anarchism. No government. Just leave me alone. You have no business. And, you know, here's something that happened. I was with my family on a rafting trip. We have a rubber raft. It's like, I don't know, four or five, six man rubber raft with a small electric motor. And we tool around and picnic and, go fishing and that type of thing. So on the way back, we were stopped at a mandatory marine boat checkpoint. If you have a boat, you must pull in to be inspected. Why? Am I being detained? Have I committed a crime? You have no probable cause to suspect that I'm, involved in criminal activity. Why are you holding? I didn't go there. That's something that a libertarian would do. Something like this, to me, is reasonable. It is sensible. Because of the aquatic invasive species. You want that stuff in your lake? I have no problems pulling in there, just making sure I don't have some seaweed with those little whatever critters hanging on it that's going to, infect another body of water. And that's how it's happening. That stuff is just brutal. It snuffs out the aquatic life. It just ruins lakes. Do I have a problem with them checking people's boats to make sure they're not inadvertently hauling something from one lake to another? I don't. But there's some people that get really spun up over stuff like that. Now, DUI checkpoints, they're looking for criminal activity and detaining you when they have no reasonable suspicion. That's a whole different thing. That is unreasonable. So, I don't know. It's just my discernment says that is wrong, unconstitutional, unlawful. Where the boat thing is not. Many libertarians would, they freak out over that. But I want to take you to this video where this PhD, Nigel Ashford from George Mason University of the Institute for Human Studies goes over what classical liberals are. So, although we were classical liberals, or we were liberals, those who hold these values that we do today as modern Christian patriots who cherish freedom and liberty and want limited government, now that's classical. That's the old days liberal. But he says that even though classical liberals have plenty of disagreements, there is a clear standard that they seem to agree on, and there's 10 points, and I'm going to go over those. Primarily, it's defining what the role of government is. In other words, asking yourself, does this thing that the government wants to do, trying to do, advance or reduce the freedom of the individual? The government should only act to prevent harm to others. That's what a classical liberal thinks. Individualism. The individual is more important than the collective or the common good, which is the common good is usually the terminology, the mantra that communists and socialists, basically the godless camp, tries to use to advance more government control and programs. 3, skepticism about power. If we're forcing you to do acts because it's good for the collective. The individual is the best judge of what is in their own best interest, and might I add, their children's interest. The 4th thing is the rule of law. In other words, there are higher principles by which we are to examine the actions of our governments, and that is outlined clearly in the Bible, the different role of governments and the scriptures that defines the roles of government and their purpose. So, in my mind, they should be accountable to a higher authority, a higher power, higher than the Constitution, the law of nature and nature's God. 5, civil society, Most social problems can be more effectively dealt with through these volunteer organizations, not the government role. So, and I've advocated for this as well. When it comes to social services, caring for the needy, that used to belong to the church, and it still should, or volunteer organizations, but not the government. Six, spontaneous order, the existence of regularity and predictability in the world. So basically, he's saying we don't need people, the government, to regulate every facet of the individual's lives. And I would say that if everybody just does as he sees fit, that turns out to be disastrous, unless that society has adopted a norm, a standardized norm. In our case, in the beginning of this country, it was the Word of God, largely Christian, God's Word. Because without a standard that the group has collectively had a socially acceptable norm, and that is to follow the tenets that are in the Bible, then anybody can do whatever they want. You are back to anarchy, really, and disaster. We've saw disastrous results in the Bible when people just went out and did whatever they felt like doing. Free markets should be left to voluntary interaction between parties. Toleration, the belief that one should not interfere with the things of which one disapproves. This is where I part with the classical liberal, at least this person's explanation of what classical liberalism is. He's saying, if you're a classical liberal, you should believe that one should not interfere with the things of which one disapproves, not about only tolerating things that I disagree with. In other words, it's saying, I have the moral principles where I disagree with this thing, and I believe it's wrong, but I would not try to force my opinions, for example, through government, to stop the things that I disapprove of. Okay, with free speech, example, people should be able to say things even when we strongly disapprove. That's what he's arguing. This is where I disagree. This is where the conservative takes over and it pushes the classical liberal to the back seat. Because times have changed. When classical liberalism was widely acknowledged and accepted, and many people identified themselves as classical liberals, America and Britain were largely Christian nations, or if you'd rather, nations of Christians, overwhelmingly in the majority. So, for example, Islam, whose imams, leaders, and followers are saying to destroy the Constitution and replace it with Sharia and the Quran. And those who say, oh no, that's not what we're trying to do, they are either lying or they haven't gotten on board with the rest of them yet. To destroy the Republican form of government, specifically federalism, to be replaced with a Muslim caliphate, I will stand up against, I will fight, I will not fight for your right to say that, because it is destructive to our end. Okay, communism and socialism, another area, which is at the heart, at the very heart, is godlessness, destructive, and coerced socialism, robbing someone to take from you to give to someone else. Not at your discretion. You have no choice in the matter. It's oppressive. Or the militant homosexual agenda, bringing homosexuals to government schools to teach your children to accept sexual deviancy. Oh, but if I may disagree with you, but I will fight for your right to say those things. No, I will not. I will fight against your right to say those things. You don't have the right to say those things. Why? Because that is in violation of the higher law. And it will bring destruction to our children and their souls. You don't have a constitutional right to destroy my children's souls with your words. You don't. I have a duty to oppose you and to shut you down. That's the conservative side of me. This is what sets modern conservatives apart from classical liberalism. At a time when nations of Christians who advocated freedom, less government, and free markets were classical liberals. So, number 9, peace, the belief that citizens should be able to go about their business without being threatened by violence of war. Interesting. And it's true. And number 10 is limited government. There are very few things which the government should do. The simple goal of the government is to protect life, liberty, and property. Anything beyond that is not justifiable. And I absolutely agree. So even though you don't have the constitutional right to destroy the Constitution, our Declaration of Independence and our founding documents clearly state that when a government becomes tyrannical, destructive to these ends, the people have a right to abolish the government to form a new one. That is true, but not to abolish the spirit and intent of the Constitution and Americanism, but that government, like not to overthrow the Constitution, but to the men and women who have corrupted and perverted the Constitution. I mean, that's stated pretty clearly in our birth certificate. All right. Now, there's another resource that I want to point you to. And I want to thank Riverfront Suites for promoting or for sponsoring this whole show. I'm very grateful for it. Riverfront Suites, if you want to get away for the weekend, they've got 7 furnished suites less than 50 yards from the river dock, and it's summertime. This is the time to enjoy that beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. Go to riverfrontsuites.com. But before we close, I want to point you to an article at esv.org, The Purpose and Role of Government. God instituted government for the good of all people. Every ruling authority that exists has been established by God. Human government is a derived authority. Those in authority are described as the servants of God and ministers of God. Those who reject governmental authority reject God's authority. It's also a limited authority. Those in power hold their power because of God. And we'll follow up more of this. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast, Sunday evening. You have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you at the rally at 2:00.